Even when videotape shows obvious illegal activity, because you can't count votes in Georgia without the public being present and able to watch. You can't count votes when you send poll watchers home. You can't do it unobserved. You can't pull ballots in large suitcases or trunks or whatever you want to call them from beneath a table and count them in the dead of night and consider it a fair election. They never checked the security footage. Nobody ever asked. Weird. Congressman Tim Walberg joining me now from Michigan's 7th Congressional District. No recounts necessary there. He won by about 100 miles. Congressman, welcome back.
Good to be back with you, and hope you had a successful deer season so far.
I have. I've been quite blessed, actually.
Good for you.
Let me ask you this. Did you watch the videotape from Georgia? Have you seen this?
I did. It's amazing. Some of the same reminders of what we saw go on in Detroit in the counting process, too.
Sure.
And the hearing that the legislature had, thankfully, this week that showed that we aren't talking out of thin air about the corruption that's going on, and whether it's enough to change the votes in Michigan or not isn't the question. And Georgia the same way, though what we saw there in that video is unbelievable, the number of ballots and boxes that were pulled out under the cover of darkness and no one watching, they thought.
In fact, that would be enough to change the outcome in Georgia.
They estimated
6,000 ballots per suitcase. That's 24,000 ballots. Counted in the dead of night, by the way, by four people. The machines can take 3,000 an hour, so the math works. And that's enough to change the outcome of the election right there. The Georgia election should be disqualified on its face. In Pennsylvania, Act 77 is unconstitutional, near as I can figure. Let me put it this way. Did Joe Biden win the election on November 3rd, yes or no?
Well, I'd say no. We'll wait for the final outcome. I hope it's done properly. But no, when you see the corruption that took place in Nevada, Arizona, now we're seeing that. Georgia, of course, we saw amazing, sad accounts of what took place there yesterday, to the point that Brian Kemp, the governor, is now saying there ought to be a signature recount and a survey, which is a good step. I mean, the question I'd ask your listeners, regardless of how it ultimately turns out, how much corruption is okay in our electoral system?
None.
How much corruption should be allowed? How many false votes should be allowed to be taken?
None.
That's what we ought to ask, and that goes on much longer than this election. That
sure.
goes on for the history of the United States.
Let me ask you about Dominion and Smartmatic and all of these machines. I mean, Texas turned them down three times. Canada won't even use those systems, even though it's a Canadian company. And yet in Michigan, your home state, the governor, Governor Snyder, brought them in 2017. They've been suspect in every place they've ever been used, from Venezuela to Georgia to Michigan. These Dominion systems, they should be eradicated from our electoral process, don't you believe? Shouldn't we go back to paper ballots and mechanical counters?
I would love to go back to that. I don't know if there's any new system that worked better than that. But certainly Dominion ought to be looked at when we've seen evidences of the ability, even in Michigan, to hook it up to the Internet. I mean, that is absurd to think that there could be foul play coming in from the outside while the voting is going on, while the election counting is going on. If that be only the case with Dominion, it would say that we ought to look askance at it and look for another voting system to be used.
It's not mathematically believable that Joe Biden won the election. It's not mathematically believable for so many reasons. He won less counties by 349 than Barack Obama, yet they'd have you believe he somehow got 10 million more votes. He underperformed in every major metropolitan area in America except six, Detroit being one of them, of course, and Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Atlanta, and some of the others. You received 14 new colleagues, I believe, in the Republican caucus for the United States Congress, including more women than we've had before, more African-Americans than you've had before, a bigger, broader tent than you've had before. Republicans won three state houses, didn't lose any, won a governorship, didn't lose any. In fact, of the 27 toss-up races for Congress, Republicans won 27. Of the 19 bellwether counties in America that indicate who's going to become president, Donald Trump won 18 of them. None of this passes the stink test, sir.
No, it really doesn't. When you look at that and the fact that Donald Trump won a record number of votes for incumbent president running, and we saw that take place in the House when we said we were probably going to lose 15 seats, we didn't lose one incumbent seat in the House, and there's only one seat the Democrats took that they switched over, and that was a seat that the Georgia Supreme Court altered in such a way it couldn't possibly be won by a Republican again. And so you look at all of that across the United States, the Republicans doing amazingly well, powerfully well, across the United States, and the president who led the charge, the change in all that went on in America, and a record that hasn't been seen by presidents in modern history for success, would lose. No, it doesn't pass the smell test, and that's why people have to sit back and say it will be worth it all to make sure that we do the necessary follow-up and evaluation and research and survey and recounting necessary to make sure,
sure,
that we don't ever, ever have to worry again about this type of corruption
ever
in the places of our voting process.
Ever. All right, let me switch gears real quickly. You had the coronavirus, correct?
I did. My wife and I had the coronavirus. We were partners. I guess we decided to do it together.
Yeah.
And fortunately,
team players.
A mild case.
Yeah. Team players. All right, so the vaccines are here. They've already been approved in the UK, American vaccines, Michigan vaccine from Pfizer, right? Let's give credit where credit's due. Pfizer,
right,
on the front line there. Looks like it's ready to be distributed all over the country. Pfizer has already put the vaccine, it's packaged, it's out there, it's ready to go. Same thing with Moderna. Johnson & Johnson could have something ready to go first week of January. Joe Biden's out there saying he'll take care of the vaccine as soon as they're available. Him and Kamala Harris will make sure they're distributed. Is he delusional, or does he just not know?
Here's a guy, and Kamala, who actually discouraged people from trusting the vaccine while they were running in their campaign.
They did.
And saying that anything that Donald Trump said, he couldn't necessarily trust. So they were holding it in advance. And now, of course, since they think they've won, they're saying, we're going to take the test. I'm glad the vaccine is coming. Bottom line is, I talked to my colleagues here. Last night, three of us were talking. Mike Kelly from Pennsylvania, great guy. And Blaine Lutkemeyer from Missouri. We all had it. All had a different take on it for our physical health. But in the end, we said, we can't continue on like this. And so if it's a vaccine that gets us back in the workplace, in the school classrooms, out to the economy again, let's do it. But let's move forward. But even if not, we've got to open up again. We've got to realize,
absolutely,
that this strain is going to be here, and that we're going to have to contend with it for the future.
Yeah.
And we have to do what's necessary. That's why I said last night in the resolution I put forward in the House that was introduced last night that we ought to get this vaccine to the first responders, of course, healthcare professionals, those in nursing homes, compromised positions, but also to school teachers, so ultimately we can get workers back to the work site.
So we get back to being America.
Building our economy.
You got it, back to being America. Congressman Tim Walberg, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for being here on a Friday.
Good to be with you, and let's make sure we enjoy this wonderful Christmas season.
Peppers from Argentina, blueberries from Canada, and corn from Mexico. What are we doing? It's time to wake up, America, support our family farmers, and defend our nation against an invasion of foreign food. It's time you support Patriot Foods. Patriot Foods is an American-only produce brand supporting U.S. farms and donating a portion of every purchase to U.S. veterans. Join the movement to buy American and eat American. Go to patriotfoods.com. Patriot Foods will even ship your order for free. patriotfoods.com. PatriotFoods.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important. So is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. Enbridge is committed to building this underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5, deep under the Straits of Mackinac. This means multiple layers of protection, virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes, no possibility of an anchor strike, and no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at Enbridge.com/line5.